Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I think about my parents getting older a fair amount, much more than I did in my 20s. And one of the things that often crosses my mind is, will they have enough money to live a comfortable, dignified life as they grow old? And if I ever had to help them, could I? And how could I actually help them? It's a question that our guest, Jean-Pierre Regis, had to grapple with unexpectedly after his mother, Rebecca, lost her job at 75. And it led them to go on a year-long journey to fulfill a bucket list project that included milking cows, hip-hop dancing, and connecting with estranged relatives. Regis documents their journey in the new Kickstarter-funded documentary, Duty Free. Let's listen to the trailer.
This is my mom, Rebecca.
Hello.
She raised me and my brother in a tiny apartment. To make ends meet, my mom spent 50 years as a hotel housekeeper. She always assumed she'd have a job.
Smile.
When I went to college, she cast out her savings to put me through school. Then all of a sudden, her story took a turn.
I just got fired.
They want me out. I've seen it happen with other people in my age group.
Her story was more universal than we could have ever imagined.
Ain't no reason anybody's gonna hire somebody that's 75 years of age.
I want you to write out a list of all the things you could never do, kind of like a bucket list, and I want to do them.
I couldn't get my mom a job, but what I could do was tell her story.
Mom, you are on the homepage of USA Today.
Wow. Duty Free is showing at the IFC Center through May 13th and will be available virtually starting May 7th. Jean-Pierre Regis joins us now, and I believe we're also joined by Rebecca. Is that not the case? Welcome to both of you.
The queen is present.
Thanks
for
the surprise.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Jean-Pierre and Rebecca. So let's start with the beginning of the documentary. And I'm going to start with you, Jean-Pierre. So at the beginning, we see your mom on the job as a head housekeeper, inspecting a hotel room. And Rebecca, you say housekeeping is the heart of the hotel, and the emphasis is on heart. Growing up, Jean-Pierre, did you know what your mom's work meant for her?
Oh, absolutely. My mom's family was my brother and I here in the States, and her work family. And I remember vividly just, you know, coming back from school, coming home, and then meeting my mom at 6 p.m. to pick her up from her job and sitting there for hours as she was, you know, up on floors. And just I was interacting with all the room attendants, and my mom didn't leave there until, you know, 8, 9 o'clock at night when it was time for me to go and do homework. So I knew that her job was her passion. It was her purpose. So when she lost it, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah. And part of the understanding with the job, right, Rebecca, is that you actually got to live in the same building where you worked. Is that not right?
That's right. I had lived in the building for 27 years before I started working for the hotel that I put together in the building. And, so I working at the hotels, but I moved into that building again when Jean-Pierre was just born, I believe. Yes, when you were just born. And so I was 24 hours on the clock, you know. I was a director of operations, so all hours of the day and night I was called upon to do things.
And, you know, she got paid a small salary, but living in was part of that. And so when she lost her job, she lost her housing too.
And how did your employers explain the reason for firing you, Rebecca?
It was a restructuring. Just some say one person, me. And that was just it. They were restructuring, and it was a business decision.
So you are 75, cool. You're let go, and then you still need to pay rent, and you are also taking care of Jean-Pierre, your adult brother, who has schizophrenia. So Jean-Pierre, as journalists, we're, you know, if not comfortable, then at least used to talking to strangers, sometimes at their saddest moments. We're used to recording them and taking notes, but it must be very different doing so with someone you know and love. And you film your mom at a very low point. Losing a job can be very confusing and embarrassing, and losing a job at 75 is just an added heartbreak. So what kept you filming, and did you ever consider just turning the camera off?
You know, there were so many moments that I'm bawling behind the camera and you don't see it. Because watching my mom struggle through the hardest moments of A, trying to pick herself back up and telling herself that she still has purpose and she still has worth, despite not having a job, to watching her try and get back on her feet and find a job and see that everything is on LinkedIn, that you're emailing your resume, you're not handing it in, and having to, the steep learning curve of trying to figure it out was, you know, it was heartbreaking. But I knew the only thing that kept me shooting and filming was that I knew her story wasn't hers alone. It was new to me. I never realized how hard it is for older people in this country who oftentimes feel invisible. But I thought, if I can continue filming and not put this camera down, then I know that there's an audience out there that will see themselves on screen through their mom, through my mom. And I think that has been proven out. And I'm so thankful I just didn't stop filming.
And Rebecca, why did you let him film you during this very personal, very hard moment of your life?
Well, his interest and his support encouraged me to carry on and see, you know, a glimpse of my life, which probably was hidden away from him for such a long time. We never really had the in-depth conversations that we realized people do need to have with their families, especially when they're getting older. And well, I saw his work, and I saw his interest, and I saw the support in the community for his work. There were some tough moments in the film, but I'm glad it all came out. I'm glad, you know, that he told us, he says, his truth. He always tells the truth. And the best story is always to write about something you really know.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Rebecca Ibarra, filling in for Allison Stewart. And we're speaking with director Jean-Pierre Regis about his documentary Duty Free, along with his mom, Rebecca, who's the subject of his film. Jean-Pierre, you decided to start a Kickstarter for this documentary that would also allow you to get through, you know, this bucket list of things that your mom wanted to do that she didn't actually have a chance to do because she spent most of her life working. What did you expect to come from this Kickstarter when you first set it up?
Oh my God, I just hoped that we could make some money to be able to go on these adventures. You know, I had no money saved. You know, again, we don't come from money at all. And my mom cashed out our 401k for me to go to Colgate University, a private university. And so I was hustling here in New York as a journalist and, you know, had no savings. And so I promised my mom this bucket list adventure, but I had no idea exactly how it was going to happen. And so it was like, you know, a full 3 weeks of planning and plotting and emailing and pleading and just saying, like, please believe that this story is one that you need to fund, and that your cash will go toward good. And thankfully, we got like 700 donors, you know, donate money from across the world to make the first $60,000, which helped us check off, like, you know, the first four or five items on the list.
Yeah, let's listen to the moment in the film when you introduce the idea of the bucket list to your mom. Here it is.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I was just sleeping. Kathy called me. That's all. Oh.
Well, I had a great idea, I think, and I want you to hear me through. So I want you to write out a list of all the things you could never do while you were working, kind of like a bucket list, but more like a life list. And over the next year, one a month, I want to go out and do them.
How am I going to pay for that when I'm not working? How could I do all those things?
I don't know. That's on me to figure out, but we'll figure it out. I just want you to think about all the things that you missed out on, all the things that you sacrificed.
I'd rather be working. I'll think about it.
I love when she says, I'd rather be working. Well, I love it, and it also breaks my heart. Shampir, when you read this bucket list, was there anything in it that you found surprising?
Oh, my God. Half of the list is surprising, to be honest. my mom, when I kept pressing her and said, like, no, Mom, write out a list. Like, don't worry about getting a job, like, right now anyway. Like, I need you to find joy. To see what came to her mind was really surprising. And, the genesis of a lot of the bucket list items actually were from her hotel. A lot of guests would stop by, after running the Boston Marathon or milking a cow in Vermont with their kids or skydiving. And those items, oftentimes my mom was inspired by and had always wanted to do because she heard the guests had so much fun doing them. And so that's about, four items or so are all hotel guest inspired.
And Rebecca, when you were writing this list, did you actually think you were going to get to fulfill these things, or were you just kind of just winging it and thinking we're never going to get to do this actually?
Well, I knew we were going to do it, but I wasn't 100% invested in it. I mean, when Sean gets going to do something, he pretty much does it. But and more happened in the bucket list that, that I never expected, like, the great reunification with my daughter and a different perspective on her story, and the sadness I felt going to visit my sister Elsie's grave was really very memorable. And certainly the jumping from the sky, wow.
And skydiving, I think a lot of people say,
a lot of people say, why did you take your mom on a bucket list adventure when what she needed was a job? And somebody once said to me, when I brought that up to them, they said, well, why can't poor people experience joy? And to me, that is the answer to that question. My mom worked every day, as so many moms do, fingers to the bone, and never get a moment to scream or squeal as she did when she was milking a cow, or to, find this really visceral feeling within oneself of pure bliss. And I was just thankful that I was able to give that to her because she deserved it.
We're speaking with director Shampir Regis about his new documentary, Duty Free, and also with his mother, Rebecca, the subject of his film. We'll continue our conversation after we take a quick break. Stay with us. If you're just joining us, you're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Rebecca Ibarra, filling in for Allison Stewart. And we're speaking with director Shampir Regis about his documentary, Duty Free, along with his mom, Rebecca, who is the subject of his film. And Rebecca, you did mention your daughter and your sister, so let's give a little background. Before, Rebecca, you met Shampir's father, you had a daughter with your previous husband. But after you divorced, you got sick and you decided to send your daughter away to be raised by your sister. Shampir, how much were you aware of this while you were growing up?
I knew that I had a sister that was in England. I remember meeting her once when I was very young. And that's pretty much the extent of what I knew. We had had a conversation or two before, and so I knew I had this family in England, but didn't know really any other details than that. Hmm.
And Rebecca, can you describe reuniting with your daughter and being able to have Jean-Pierre there with you?
It was really quite unexpected the way it turned out. I was very happy to return. I had sent my daughter to England at age 3. She'd come back to visit. Then she came back to stay. She didn't want to stay with her father after 3 weeks, so she goes back to England. And then we hadn't spoken for, you know, a long time. And when I saw her, it was really just joyous to see my granddaughter, who I hadn't seen since she was 3 months old. And then Jean-Pierre had a conversation with her, and she really was very frank in her feelings about my sending her away, which I never realized until seeing that interview, how very hurt she was and the emotional turmoil that it had caused her. And I'm very regretful of that. But the reunification brought so much more, is that we talk now almost every day, and it's just made us a stronger family than ever.
Yeah, because she said that, you know, you thought you were doing the right thing because you weren't able to take care of her. And in one part of the film, you say, this is what we did, you know, back home. We would send them with another family member. And I thought she was comfortable and happy, but she would have rather be with you. And so you didn't quite know that until you saw that interview after it was recorded, Rebecca.
That's right. I mean, she said, Mommy, I miss you, or Mommy, I miss you, but really, the pain that she had gone through these years is really very heartbreaking for me to understand the depth of her upset. And I can't change the history, but you know, I'm working very hard to shape the future. And we're very much in touch again. And again, I did my best that I could at the time.
Jean-Pierre, in the documentary, we see you ask your sister if she felt jealousy about not growing up with her mom while her mom was raising two other children, you and your brother. Why was that question important to you?
Because this was a person that I was face to face with, and I was getting to know her in real time, and I wanted immediately to sort of deflate the feeling if there was jealousy. Like, I wanted to know, I wanted her to know that I came in peace and like I came in love, and that I wanted to know who she was. And so I wanted to know that if she was angry in any way at me, that like that was a way for me to sort of meet her where she was. And I think she says in the film something like, you know, it was annoying, but if it was that annoying, I wouldn't be here talking to you now. And, you know, you can still feel that there was, not resentment, but maybe just like questioning or, you know, and so I wanted to hit that head on. And, you know, that conversation in the film is one of the most powerful. And she says, you know, you'll never know what it feels like to be left. You will always be insecure. And it is just like, gives me tingles thinking about it. But for her to be so raw and so honest with me, like that was the beginning of a beautiful relationship that we now have that is like pure honesty and pure realness from across the ocean.
Did you have to grapple with feelings of guilt, Jean-Pierre?
No, I mean, honestly, you know, I think I was aware enough and mature enough to know that I had nothing to do with the situation, you know, like, and that, you know, all I could do was to be her brother in this moment and try and create a connection with her that I hope was longstanding. I mean, one of the themes behind the film really is about family and sacrifice and what sometimes family members do as sacrifice. And so, you know, I just wanted to show up as a brother in that moment and tell her I heard her and that I see her, and that her side of the story, you know, was important too.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Rebecca Ibarra, filling in for Allison Stewart, and I'm speaking with director Jean-Pierre Regis about his documentary Duty Free, along with his mom, Rebecca, the subject of his film. Rebecca, when you were let go, you only had $600 in savings. This documentary obviously is a personal story, but it goes for a bigger picture. So one of the film's final images explains that an estimated 25 million older Americans will not have enough money to get them through retirement. Again, that's 25 million. Jean-Pierre, why was it important for you to put your mother's story in the context of economic insecurity and workplace age discrimination?
You know, I think being a journalist in that sense, I was always thinking about the bigger picture. And when our trailer was seen 38 million times during the Kickstarter moment in 2017, so many people wrote in and said, this is my story too. And it was at that point that I started to have a passion and a flame inside me, because oftentimes when people are fired, they're, as you said earlier, like, they're embarrassed. They feel like it's their fault, you know, that they did something wrong. And oftentimes I think society makes one feel that way. And on the economic insecurity part, it's like, my mom did every single thing that she could do as a single mom in this country to give her child the best education possible and the best future possible. And she was left with essentially $600, not because she wasn't a good saver or because she was a spender or because just the way of economics. And I wanted to get that across because I think a lot of people need to know that it is not their fault, whether they are, you know, a victim of ageism or they won't have enough money to get them through retirement age. It's a conversation that needs to be had, that we need to express, and not only express with our family and friends, but at a national level. Like, there are more boomers now than there are people under 18. Like, this is a crisis we are almost in. And yet nobody's really having the conversation.
Rebecca, we see in the documentary that people, once you guys start being in the press and making TV appearances, a lot of people, older people who lost their jobs and were kind of in the same situation as you, start reaching out to you with their stories. How did you feel about that? And was it at all surprising that you weren't so alone?
You know, it was surprising to me. I thought I was the only one. I never thought about ageism. I never thought that I would ever lose a job. I've never been without work a day in my life until that point. And I have people from Argentina, Greece, China, people this happened to me. I want to do something with my mom. What a great idea. Let's go in the back. My mom is failing. My mom is depressed. My dad died. And all these stories, yes, I'm not alone. And there are more people of my age group now than there ever were in history because of the baby boomers. And people aren't being born at the rate they were during that time period I was born. And Social Security average is $1,400 a month for most Americans. You can't find an apartment for $1,400 a month. It's very difficult.
We've been speaking with director Jean-Pierre Regis about his new documentary, Duty Free, showing at the IFC Center through May 13th, and it will also be available virtually starting May 7th. And we've also been speaking with Rebecca, the subject of his film. Jean-Pierre, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thank you so much for sharing the story. We're so thankful.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.